Welcome to Simple Sustainable Home. I'm Rachel, the blogger behind Milk Glass Home. My focus is all about making sustainable living easy and beautiful. We're going to slow down and learn about cooking from scratch, gardening and preserving the harvest, setting up a low-waste lifestyle, and keeping a non-toxic home. We have new episodes every Saturday to help you find new tips and strategies to make simple living easy. Let's get started. Hello, hello. Welcome to Simple Sustainable Home. I'm Rachel. I am so glad you are here with me for week 3 of the seasonal slowdown. For the past few weeks, I have been sharing a tip or a strategy to help you feel more calm, peaceful, and grounded during the holidays. In the first episode, we talked about eliminating some of the stuff on that long to-do list of yours so that you don't feel so stressed out and can be a little bit more grounded. And then in the second episode, we talked about seasonal living, and this is such a great way to help you feel more grounded and connected with the natural world around you. It's not too late if you haven't done something to just note the winter solstice. You know, this is a great time to spend 15 minutes journaling, writing about how the year went or a goal that you have for next year. Like if there's anything you can do to give yourself even just a few minutes of self-reflection, it's really nice to just, get quiet with yourself. But our focus today is not about those things. Although if those other things were not taken care of, this is very possibly bubbling up in your life. But today we are talking about resentment. Now, I know that when I say resentment, people kind of get a little defensive about that because we often use that word to talk about hate. Like, I resent this. Like, I hate it. And it's not always exactly what it means. And we'll talk about what it means to help us get a better nuanced sense of what we might actually be feeling when we experience resentment. But some of the signs that you might be experiencing resentment are that you are really short-tempered. Like if you have had a blow up recently with your spouse or your partner or some significant person in your life, that maybe looking back, you're like, I don't know if that was totally justified. That's a good sign that you might be feeling some resentment. If you're feeling jealous or like cynical about other people having a good time or seeing their families help out with the holidays or things like that, then you might be feeling resentment. For me, I can often tell I'm feeling resentment when like I'm driving to an event with my husband that's supposed to be this happy, positive thing, and instead I'm like mad and I'm kind of blowing up like, I don't know why we're doing this. I'm so frustrated at all the work that this took and blah, blah, blah. And he's just sort of taking it because he's like, well, at this point, there's nothing I can do to help you because now all of the prep work is done, right? Now we're on the way to the event, but I have to get this frustration out of me because it's overflowing. These sorts of things are signs that the resentment is seeping out. It is not in control. You're not able to hide it anymore. So if you're like, I'm not very happy with how I'm interacting with my friends or my family right now, then chances are that there's probably at least some piece of resentment that's kind of lingering in there causing these problems. And of course, there are a lot of things that could fuel resentment or create the perfect conditions for that. So if you are feeling stressed out about things like money or time or dealing with a tight schedule, then that stress level is going to, you know, put you more on edge anyway. But there are specific things you might be doing in your life that you are not intending to do that lead to resentment. So let's take a moment to think about what this term actually means, because I think that is a really helpful way to recognize a deeper understanding of it that could be helpful in your situation. So resentment is a feeling of indignant displeasure or persistent ill will at something regarded as a wrong, insult, or injury. So it does sound a lot like hate, right? Like I'm just really mad about something, or I'm sending negative vibes towards something because it is wrong or it hurts me in some way. That is what resentment means. So it does sound similar to hate. I get that. But when you break it down, there's some things in there that I think we can pull out. So I know that in my life, when I feel a lot of resentment, it usually comes from a couple of sources. One is comparing with others. Nothing kind of breaks down your self-esteem or eliminates all of that gratitude you've been building up in your life, like comparing yourself with others. If you're comparing their house or their tree or their presence or how helpful their family is with cleaning and all of those things, then you're going to feel like, well, it's not fair that I'm over here doing things my own way without all of the help that I would like. And so that is going to breed resentment, right? That's that comparison. I also find that one of the number one reasons why I feel resentment is because I overcommit. I'm such a people pleaser. I want to make people happy. I don't think that in itself is a bad thing, but when you overstep what actually is right for you to make other people happy, you're going to feel resentment. In fact, I would say in a work situation, that leads to burnout because both of the times that I have burned out of a career were times when I said yes to doing something that really felt like a no. Like I'd already said, I need to not do this, or this isn't going to work for me. And then somebody said, could you? And I said, of course, wanting to be everything to them. And ultimately, those situations caused me to have to leave those fields. When I left managing farmers markets, I couldn't really go back to farmers markets for years because every time I went to one, I just felt all of that frustration and all of the stress that I'd gone through. And then this year, I said yes last year to teaching a grade and changing my grade in the middle of the year, which was a really, really bad fit for me. And I knew deeply that that was a bad fit for me, but I really wanted to be the person who could take one for the team. Like I wanted to please everybody, the students, the families, the admin, the other teachers. Like I was like, I want to be the one who solves this problem and saves the day for everybody. But by saying yes to something that was such a huge no for me, I really suffered. And I had to try to force my way through that and trying to be well. And ultimately, I couldn't be well in that situation because it was such an unhealthy fit for me that I had to leave mid-year. And all of that came from me saying yes to things that really were not a good fit for me. I want you to think about what in your life you might have committed to that you're like, you know what? I actually probably shouldn't have done that. Like, if you're hopping around to like four or five different houses on Christmas and you're feeling really drained by that, then that is a place where it might be a little too late to cancel now, although you can. You might want to consider that in the future. Like, really close your eyes. Imagine the entire day that you have outlined for Christmas or any of the other holidays that might be going on, okay? And if you're sitting there and you're kind of going through it and you're imagining each step of the way and you start to feel tension or frustration or stress, then that is a sign that whatever you just thought about isn't really a good fit for that day. And sometimes it's just as simple as like, I can't think logistically how we're going to do all of these things, but other times it's just too much. Like, trust that your body can tell you the limits that you need to follow. And so if your body says that feels like a lot, then trust that that is a lot and maybe you shouldn't do that. But if your body keeps giving you these cues and saying like this makes me nervous or this makes me uncomfortable, there are times that we really need to honor that. And if you've been not honoring that, then your resentment is probably a little bit bigger right now than you'd like it to be. So let's kind of pause and reflect on that. What I'm saying is that if you're feeling really stressed out, that stress level is going to already kind of fray your nerves. We know that that's normal. Like if we're stressed, we're not really balanced in any other part of our lives. And one of the things that's really going to lead to resentment is overcommitting. So saying yes to things that you really don't have time or the energy or like that just aren't really a good fit for you. If you're saying yes to things to please people, you are definitely going to be on the path to resentment. And I want you to think about that. If you're saying yes to things that aren't authentically you, right? If you're saying yes to things that really don't align with who you truly are or what you truly need, resentment is going to come creeping out. This is how it works. And I have to tell you that in this world, we're so good at that. Like, we are socialized to do what other people want us to do. We are socialized that, you know, a good girl does this and a good girl dresses like this and a good girl is going to do all of these things. Like, we get all of these messages from childhood and into adulthood about how we should dress, how we should have people over to the house, what our house should look like. Like, every level of our lives, we have these messages of how we should be doing them. And we take those in and we start to believe that that is true for us. That, of course, what I want to do is this, but what we're actually feeling like what we want to do is what the outside people, right? Like, that's what society has told us that we want. So I've really been working in the past couple of years because I can tell that there are times that I don't actually know what I want because I've taken in these cues of who I should be so intensely. And I really struggle with being different from other people. Yet on the inside, I feel compelled to be my own self. So I've been really having to grow in my own confidence and trusting myself to do what feels right to me. And that is so hard, especially if you're stepping outside of the norm, especially if you're stepping away from what everybody else expects of you. Man, that's a big step to take. It was really hard leaving teaching and knowing that people were probably going to judge me for that, because that's not something that a teacher does. You don't quit. You don't leave your students. But for me, I knew it was a victory because I could feel that the situation I was in was so unhealthy for me that I had to draw that personal boundary and say, I matter more than filling this role of completing this job. And I know that that example is way more severe than, you know, blowing up at somebody on the way to a party or like getting mad at your family or like being mad at them for not helping you. But all of these things are the same. If we are saying yes to things that really are not truly us, or if we are overextending ourselves so that we can't do what we need or want to do for ourselves because we're too busy doing for others, resentment is just going to pop out. That's what's going to happen. It's just how that is. I mean, maybe if you're really good at suppressing your true feelings, you might be able to hide resentment for a while, but most of us, it's just going to come flying out, and then our families are going to not want to be around us, and they're going to be like, oh, you know, she's in monster mode, because we're finally at a point where we reach that breaking point where we just can't keep it in anymore. That's what happens when we suppress our own needs. And when we say yes to things that just are not a good fit for us. So I don't want you to do that. And I want to share some strategies to help you avoid this in the future. All right. So now you're like, okay, great, Rachel. You told me that by saying yes to things to make other people happy, which is kind of a necessity in the lives of a lot of women, I'm setting myself up for resentment and inevitably burning out. I guess in a nutshell, that is kind of what I'm saying. Although, you know, if all you're doing is overcommitting to like baking too many things for a party or, you know, helping out with something that you don't truly want to help out with, those sorts of things aren't always going to lead to like big, big bad resentment where you like blow up your life. But a lot of us are overcommitting and saying yes to things that aren't authentically us at every level of the game. So it's not just that we're overcommitting with little things like holiday planning. Chances are we're doing this in our relationships and in our work and in all kinds of other levels of our lives. I'm just going to say that, right? Like, I know that that's true for me. If I'm likely to overcommit with something tiny, then I am for sure likely to overcommit with something big. Except those big things will keep you up in the middle of the night when you realize it's not a good fit. So those ones sometimes kind of bark a little bit louder. So you can sense an unbalance or like an unsteadiness with those sorts of decisions. Or the little ones, you're like, it's okay, I'll just get through it. It's okay, I'll just get through it. But anyway, I want to talk about the cure. How do you not do this? Like right now, if you're really mad and you want to blow up at your family or you want to like quit Christmas altogether, You know, we need some short-term solutions to get you through this time. And then we also need some long-term solutions so that you don't do this in the future. So short-term, of course, you need a break. Like, you got to take care of yourself. You need to feel rooted and calm and secure in yourself, which means you probably need alone time. I am honestly my best self when I have a significant amount of time alone. I like to reflect. It helps me, especially as somebody who picks up on everybody else's cues and wants to do what everybody else wants me to do. Being alone helps me know what I want. I have to have that alone time. I have to have quiet time to be able to reflect. So if you can carve out any time for yourself today or over the next few days, it's going to be huge. Find something you love. I love to read. I could see myself locking myself in my bedroom with a book and being like, hold down the fort. I'm doing my own thing. Don't interrupt me. That would help. Leaving, you know, going to a coffee shop and like sitting down for 30 minutes with a nice coffee or tea. That can be nice. Talking with a friend, you know, call a friend, call a sister, reach out to somebody that gets it because, oh my God, isn't it so nice when there's that sense of camaraderie where somebody is like, I love my people. And also, God, they're sometimes just the worst sometimes. Like, you need that humanity of somebody saying like, you can both love all of your family and all of your people and be driven crazy by them at the same time. So either finding a way to be calm with yourself or connecting with somebody who can help you feel seen is a really big thing to do. Also, I know we're in crunch mode, but if you have little things on your to-do list that can just be eliminated, let them go. Like, I have a few things I need to do before Christmas, but we currently have like a sheet of ice in our neighborhood. So I literally can't leave my house, which in some ways is my dream come true because I love having reasons why I can't go anywhere but my house. But now I'm like, okay, so some stuff just has to go. And like normally I pressure myself to bake all of these cookies and make this gingerbread and do all of this stuff. And this year I'm like, you know what? I could actually bake gingerbread cookies literally any time of the year. I can bake them in July. I could bake them the second week of January. I can bake them any time I want, and I don't have to bake them right now. And that's totally fine. Like, allowing things that are maybe traditions for you, but if they're things that they are going to stress you out or take you to that next level of blowing up, like, just let them go. Like, it's totally fine that we let them go. I'm going to pawn off most of my wrapping to my husband. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm like, I don't care how well that's done, but if I can take that off my plate, I'm going to feel so much better. So I'm just going to pawn it off. And it doesn't matter how well it's done. I'm going to let go of holding on to how perfect it needs to be because I don't have the energy for perfect right now. Okay. So you need time for yourself. You need to feel seen. And you need to take things off of your to-do list. Even if that means they're not going to be done perfectly, that is just fine. So we have some ideas on how we can deal with this seething resentment that's coming out of our pores at this point. But how are we going to avoid coming back to this situation again and again in a variety of contexts and a variety of relationships? Like, how do we stop overcommitting and stop saying yes to things that aren't truly us? For that, the idea that really changed the game for me is the concept of the full body yes and the full body no. And I heard about this on a Tim Ferriss podcast. I will link to that episode in the show notes, but I can't quite remember who the guest was. But the concept was that there are some things that we can tell right away that we want to do. Like, we physically feel excited about them. We're like really pumped up about it. Like, imagine a kid that you're like, hey, do you want to go to the ice cream store? And they're like, yeah, like, this is the best day ever. Like, the energy is so high and they're really, really, really excited. You know, side note, when is the last time you felt that excited about anything? Man, anyway, we'll come back to that later. But a full body no is the stuff that you're like, I definitely do not want to do that. Like, nothing in my being would like to do that. That sounds awful. Like, I can't stand dental work. So the thought of having to go get a root canal or a filling or anything like that is just a full body no. Like, I feel tightness in my stomach when I think about that. My heart starts to pound a little bit. I get that feeling of, and the dread. Like, very clearly, I do not want to do that. That's a big, big no. But for a lot of us, we don't feel things in terms of this pure excitement or this utter dread, right? We don't feel those really strong things. In fact, a lot of us feel completely numb most of the time, which is awful. It's not fun. I've been in that situation. You're like, I literally don't even know the next step forward to take, good or bad, because nothing. I got nothing. My readers are off. I have no cues to follow. Everything sounds bad. I don't want to do anything. And if you're struggling with mental health or if you have depression, you know, that feeling of nothing sounds good is often an indicator that your depression might be spiking. So I often will kind of think about that and be extra careful when that happens. But one of the things that I've noticed is that when I get a cue of like, ooh, that sounds fun, or ooh, that sounds good, or ooh, I want to do that, I typically say no. And I have been denying the things I want to do for so long for so many reasons. One, lack of self-confidence. You know, I'm not comfortable in myself, or I'm too nervous to be around other people and I don't want to go to this event. And a lot of it is financial, where you're like, you know, there are times when we have to be a little bit tighter with money. So you get in a habit of saying no to things just to stay on track with your budget or to avoid going into debt. And I can tell that over the years of being an adult, all of those no's have built up to the point where I forgot what sounds good. So the only time things sounds good is if it's something like really extreme, like always down for a trip to the ice cream store. I will always be excited about that. Or like puppies. Like, it has to be like really cute, meme level, adorable for me to have that feeling of like, I love that. I want to do that. I do feel like the no is a little bit clearer, but again, I have ignored the no for so long, and you probably have too. I think a lot of times as adults, we try to train ourselves into having discipline. So we're like, the way to have discipline is to do the things we don't want to do anyway, to just do them. And yes and no. Like, I don't want to fold the clothes, but there are times where I just have to accept that I need to fold the clothes. But that's kind of a small example. There are definitely times in our lives that we say yes to professional or personal obligations or responsibilities. Like, we say yes to them because we feel like we need to. Like, in my situation, I said yes to them because I felt like I had to do what my boss has asked me to do. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I should have said no. And I could feel on the inside that it was a no, but I said yes anyway, because I didn't know what would happen if I refused to do something big at work. And I didn't want to disappoint people. And I didn't want people to treat me differently and be like, oh, Rachel, she's not a team player. You shouldn't work with her, because now she's, you know, on the bad list because she won't do something way out of her comfort zone for us. So there's a fine line here. But if you have been routinely ignoring all of those no's and forcing yourself to do the things that you never want to do, then your body's like, you know what? Cool. I'm going to stop telling you things. I tell you what sounds nice, you don't do it. I tell you what sounds bad, you do it anyway. You've got your wires crossed. I'm not interested in participating. Like, if you just keep ignoring what your body is telling you, it's going to stop telling you things. And then you're going to get to that numb state of nothing feels right. I don't have a direction. I don't know if anything is good or bad. If you've been craving a different kind of life, one that feels right to you, then I highly recommend signing up for my email updates. My focus is really about slowing down and being present with myself. And typically, I share content about cooking from scratch, preserving the harvest, making your own products, and living more sustainably. So if those are things that you're working on in 2023, or you just feel like we are kindred spirits, I highly recommend signing up for my email update so that we can stay connected. You can also join Simple Sustainable Home, the Facebook group on Facebook, to get to hang out with me, my friends, my family, other listeners and readers of the blog. All of these are people who are on a similar journey to you, and we would love to have you with us. As you're processing that idea, I want to talk about the concept of neuroception. And, you know, we've been learning a lot about how people sense things over the past few years with a lot of brain imaging and new technology. And one of the ideas that's become really prominent is that we have this inner awareness of what's happening around us that happens typically subconsciously. And one of those is called neuroception, which is the idea that you have like nerves in your body that are checking for signs of danger around you constantly. Like, I believe it's like every fourth of a second, your body is scanning for danger. Like, you could be sleeping, but your body's still scanning for danger. You could be driving your car and your body's still scanning for danger. Like, this happens no matter what. It's like background programming. It's always on. But we don't ever think about it unless something bad happens, because that's how it's supposed to work, right? We're supposed to not notice all of the tiny little risks that are out there unless we're actually in danger. Now, if you have anxiety, you probably notice all the risks anyway, just because that's our special power. But what I want you to realize is that your body is picking up cues that you can't consciously be aware of. This is just what's coming in. It's giving you tons of data. And the way you're going to sense that data is that feeling of dread or nervousness. So if somebody is like, hey, do you want to do this? And you get this uncomfortable feeling in your stomach, that is a no. Even if it's a teeny tiny little sound or feeling, that is a no. And so your homework is to really notice those cues of somebody says, hey, do you think you could do this for me? And you kind of sit with it for a second. And you have that feeling of discomfort, or you don't feel sure. Those are signs that you need to say no. And the next step of that, the hardest part, like starting to hear your cues and follow them, is easier than saying no and disappointing people, because that is the part that's really hard to do. But if you don't know your cues, if you don't know what your body's telling you, if you don't know your inner self, then the rest of it doesn't matter. So you need to practice listening to those cues. So I remember that in the midst of being in this crisis teaching situation, literally nothing sounded good. Like, I was definitely depressed. Nothing sounded good. My anxiety was completely out of control. I could not function. And I remember scrolling on Facebook one day, because I mean, who doesn't scroll endlessly when they feel like nothing is working? Like, I was looking for something and I saw this video of somebody block printing, like carving a rubber pad for stamping. And I felt, I want to do that. And I had not felt that feeling in so long that I was like, you know what? I have to put this eco-friendly, trying to live plastic free, trying to live on a budget. Like, I have to put all of that to the side, because I'm at the point where I've heard one feeling. I've sensed one feeling of excitement in months. I have to accept that and say yes to that and give in to that. Like, you have to listen to those cues for the things that sound good. And if you get this feeling of, I don't think I want to do this. I don't think this is a good idea. You have to follow them. You have to follow them. And if you can't not follow them right away, because of where you are in a relationship or a work situation, then it's helpful to at least say, I'm saying yes to this right now, but I also know I don't want to do this. Just acknowledging that you know that that's not a yes for you, but you're doing it for another reason right now, can be very, very helpful. Because then you're saying, I'm not doing this because I want to, or I feel like this is what I do to make people happy. I hear my cue. I am responding to this cue of this being a no for me, but I know that I have to do it right now. And I'm going to acknowledge that. There's something really helpful about just that simple acknowledgement. I know this is a lot of new information for some people in a short period of time, and this is probably different than you were expecting. You're like, I was just mad right now. I don't know if everything in my life needs to change, but I feel like this concept can be completely transformative for people. Like, I cannot understate how valuable this concept of the full body yes and the full body no have been in my life this year. I went from a place of living in constant anxiety, constant dread, and I took huge risks this year to basically strike out on my own and say, I'm going to do this my own way. And somehow, even knowing that I have very bad anxiety and I have depression that just comes back again and again, even though this has been such a hard transition, I have zero doubt that I am doing the right thing. And it did take me kind of blowing up my life in some ways, right? I had to change a lot of things in my life. And this doesn't mean that I've changed them forever. Like, this doesn't mean I'll never go back to teaching. But I've finally given myself the chance to say, you know, inside of me, I keep hearing that I want to be my own boss and I want to work from home and I want to have my income connected to my creativity and all of these things I'm passionate about. And I have this level of passion and energy about that I can't stop. Like, it's like a freight train. Like, I just keep going. Even when I'm like, don't you want to do something a little easier with a little bit more comfort? All of the parts of me are like, no, this is the path to go on. Keep going. But if I wasn't listening to the yeses and the nos, I would for sure just be working some job to pay the bills instead of investing every single day in this vision that I have. And I know that if you're like, I'm just snapping at my family, I'm not thinking about all this big stuff. Like, it's okay to think about these things, even with these little things, because this full body yes, this understanding of what we want and this celebration of joy and pleasure is a good thing. So even if you just start with what sounds good to me, like what do I want to do? What would be fun? What's a better way to do this? Those tiny steps forward can bring so much more happiness to your life. Like, often we can still live our regular lives and just infuse them with more fun, more color, more happiness, more laughter. But you're only going to do that if you can really get quiet with yourself and notice who you are and what matters to you. I guess this is my way of saying you probably should really do some sort of reflection. It's very helpful. It is very, very helpful. Okay, I know that's a ton of information. I hope that this perspective gives you a new way of looking at your life and your decision making, from the small, tiny level of what do I want to eat today to the big level of, you know, how do I want to spend the X amount of years that I have on this planet. But I highly recommend taking some time. Notice when you feel excited about something, especially if that's rare, notice that. Kind of collect those, you know, try to remember them so you can use that to tailor how you want to live your life. And really, really, really trust those no's. If you feel dread or this negative feeling about a work situation or a personal relationship or some sort of commitment, like, trust yourself enough to believe that that's actually really a no for you and you should say no to it. Like, find a way to get out of that. Okay. It's a gift that you can give yourself. Doesn't cost anything. Just your comfort, you know, just pushes you out of your comfort zone. But anyway, I know you have a ton of things to do right now. I hope that you know that you are loved. You can handle literally anything that is coming your way if you are true to yourself. Find some time for yourself. Take care of yourself. Celebrate the moments. Try to enjoy the little things. And I'll talk to you later. Happy holidays. Bye-bye. If you're looking for more information about the full body yes, the full body no, and steps you can take to align your life with that inner sense of knowing, please visit simplesustainablehome.com. Go to the show notes for this episode, and I'm going to share links to some books and podcast episodes that could be really, really helpful for you. Take care.